Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
Next guest is Melissa Wright. Melissa is a passionate educator driven to help schools create a place where students belong and everyone feels like they matter. By sharing ideas that work in her school, she helps educators and students see they can improve their culture and climate. She is known for her desire to see students succeed and to help them find their inner leader. Melissa is the current president of the New Brunswick Student Leadership Association and a co-chair of the 2022 Canadian Student Leadership Conference. She is also a mathematics teacher at Kennebunkport, New Brunswick, Canada, and is a Justin Renaissance co-advisor at her school. Melissa shares her knowledge and experiences with students and educators alike. She currently speaks to educators and students about proven ideas that help school culture and climate and how to implement Justin Renaissance schools. Welcome to the podcast, Melissa.
Thanks so much for having me, Dana. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Well, actually, we're going to go back to my very first year of teaching for this one. In my first year of teaching, I was hired mostly to teach math because that's my major. And then, of course, you know, can you teach this one class of science? Sure, no problem. But one of the math courses that I did have was called 10 Applied Math. So basically, it was a math class for struggling students. And they really struggled. So not only struggled in the classroom, but outside of the classroom as well. So at that time, I believe there was 32 kids in the class, and 17 of them had probation officers. So as a first year teacher, that was very difficult. You know, I had a fist fight breakout one day in the classroom. And in those days, we used to have fake walls between the rooms, and they actually fell into the wall and it fell into the next classroom. There was also a day that a student thought it would be exciting and fun to light his jeans on fire by spraying Axe deodorant spray on it and then lighting them on fire. So that first year was really, really tough for me. And at one point in the year, my department head said to me, you know, is teaching what you really want to do? Mm-hmm. And that kind of, with everything that was going on, it kind of just like took the wind right out of me. And I thought for a second, wow, like it really made me reflect, but I had to think it, step back and think, wow, you know, yes, this might be a difficult class. As my department head said, it's baptism by fire, quite literally. you know, it made me realize, okay, yeah, you know, this is difficult, but I can't let that show to the kids. Like, was she seeing that I was letting that get show to the kids and getting to me even in my other classes, right? So I kind of had to pick myself up and dust myself and say, wait, what can I do to make a difference in these kids' lives, no matter what their background is? So for me, it was really taking that moment and stepping back to say, wow, is this really what I want to do? And if it is, how am I going to turn this around to make an impact on every single kid that I encounter?
Yeah, and that really sounds like, you know, a baptism by fire as a first year teacher to have those struggles. But like you said, just finding out how you can make the difference, looking beyond those stressful situations and, you know, be able to continue an education, because I think that type of experience would have driven a lot of teachers out of the classroom.
Yeah. Especially as a first year teacher, right? Because you're not only, you know, getting your footing with curriculum because some of the courses you've never taught before, but also, you know, trying to find your place in the school and the things that you're passionate about. So to, you know, to have that thrown on top of you as well, really makes you step back and reflect and think, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this as best as it can be and make a difference and impact?
Yeah, yeah. So on your website, you list a variety of different professional development topics that you offer. Tell me a little bit about some of those offerings and if you have any speaking engagements coming up this summer or anything that maybe you're interested in offering to people who are looking for training.
Yeah, so a lot of my offerings are around school culture and climate. So I talk a lot about in my sessions about ways to recognize both students and staffalty. And if anybody's not familiar with the term staffalty, that's both staff and faculty together. That's a Justin's Renaissance term. So a lot of proven ideas that have worked in my school and, you know, different stories that we've had come out of that with kids, you know, success through the different recognitions and how that has kind of helped them get through their education, as well as speaking a little bit about team building. So because student leadership, as you had mentioned, is something that I'm very passionate about and work with kids in the New Brunswick Student Leadership Association. So how you can, you know, not only build those connections within your school to help improve your school culture and climate, because you usually have a team of kids that are helping you do that. And if your team as students isn't functioning well together, then that's going to make, you know, improving your school culture and climate more difficult. So it's important for them to be gelling and working together as a team as well. Now, this summer, I am actually going to hopefully be speaking at the Jocelyn's Renaissance Global Conference in Orlando, Florida. So I have two proposals in for that. One is on fundraising. So different ideas you can do, because some of this stuff that we do in our school does take money. So you need to find ways to fund that somehow. And then also have a proposal in to talk about, you know, still on the Renaissance Conference, but how to work with your Jocelyn's rep on it to make it as positive and as impactful as possible in your building. So kind of a little bit different side of what is compared to being on my website, but, you know, I'm always looking to help schools that are looking to take that first step into getting started with their improving their school culture and climate, or if you're even looking for fresh ideas. You know, a lot of times I'll go in before school starts and speak to staffs that are wanting to make a change for the upcoming school year to give them some ideas to how to kick things off to have one of their best school years yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always great to use that experience from having worked in a school that's been using Jocelyn's Renaissance for so long. So tell me a little bit about how Jocelyn's Renaissance came about at your school. You said you were in your second year of teaching and how you helped grow the program at your school.
Well, actually, it all goes back to my teaching internship. So I did one of my internships at the high school that I attended as a student. And when I went there as a student, they didn't have Renaissance. So I was lucky enough that they had just started it within a year or two before I was there. And my student council advisor from high school was still a teacher there. And she said, you know, I think you would really love this. I wish we had this when you were a student here. So I saw it in action for a few months there. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I'd really, wherever I end up, I hope they either have it or I'd love to bring it to our school. So the school that I attended as a student was grade 7 to 12, 700 kids. So not a huge school. But the job that I got hired at Kennebecasis Valley High School, it's 9 to 12, 1,100 kids. So it was much bigger than I had ever been used to. So, you know, being a first-year teacher going to a new building, you're kind of like, okay, just want to take baby steps and not, you know, make too many ripples. But in the spring of that year, my first year teaching, my principal sent out an email and said, hey, listen, here's an opportunity to attend a workshop about this. Is anyone interested? So of course I jumped right on board and was like, yes, 100%, I want to go. So myself and another staff member from our school went, we took some students with us for the day. And then we made a plan of how we were going to kick things off for the second year. So we had a big school-wide assembly, which we did some recognition for student attendance because we were just starting off, you know, baby steps, like I had said, to try to get people on board. And the thing we found too was that our school has a very established, you know, student council. And to make that shift sometimes takes a bit of time. So for us, we knew it was going to take a few years before it got established. So we picked three things that we wanted to improve. When we started out, we were working on tardies, instilling kindness in our students, and, you know, doing a little bit more recognition for those kids that perhaps might not always get recognized. So those were the three things we focused on. And that took about 3 years, like I said, to get established. And then after that, you know, I find that it just kind of grows. You'll think, oh, the kids will come to you with an idea and be like, hey, can we do something to recognize this? Or here, I heard an idea from this school. Can we try this? So it just kind of grows organically. But then we've also found that it starts to spill over into other aspects of your building. So like, you know, we've been doing these things for a while, and then, you know, like our principal sees them and they're like, oh, well, how about we do this at a staff meeting, right? So it spills into all different aspects of your building in a positive way, which, you know, that's what we need in our buildings. We need more positivity, especially after these last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And for people who are looking to get Jocelyn's Renaissance program started mm-hmm. at their school, because you mentioned some of these things like tardies and recognizing students and kindness. And I think no matter where we are post-pandemic, you know, before the pandemic, and, you know, every year there's going to be those types of needs. Mm-hmm. So how would a school, you said it takes about 3 years to implement, but kind of what are the steps to maybe bringing that into a school?
Right. Well, it doesn't take 3 years to implement. We felt it just took that amount of time to get it established in our building because where we had such an established student council. But you know, I have friends that when they started, they jumped in like full force with both feet, right? So to get it started, basically, it's just you have to have a desire to want to start. And some people are always like, well, where do I start? No, it's as simple as you just start. So, you know, everybody knows, like, talk to your administration. That's the first, really the first thing to make sure you have their support, because having their support is going to help you get the support of the rest of your building, right? Okay. So if you have their support, then they're going to make it a priority to your staff, right? To say, hey, this is something we're starting, you know, anybody that wants to get involved. So you have them on your side. And not only for that, for funding, because I know when we started, we didn't have any money. Okay. So our principal was very kind to help us to get some of those incentives and things that we wanted for our building. But as well, you know, not only getting your admin on your side, like in our schools here in New Brunswick, we have something called our parent school support committee. So it's basically a group of parents that, you know, work with our principal on different things for our school. So we also informed that group of what we were trying to do to help bring the community into it as well. And then they supported us financially to get our rewards cards. And they've done some different supports over the year that way. So trying to bring all those stakeholders together. But then the next most important thing is to form a student team, because what we think is cool, the students don't necessarily think is cool, right? So they have some of the best ideas when it comes to what incentives the kids will like, or cool ideas that you can try for your school, because they have a pulse on what the kids are feeling and saying and thinking. So, but then, you know, you're there to mentor them and guide them along, but it's important that you let them lead, right? That's what I do. Like, I kind of, you know, we say, okay, how are you going to run this event, or what do we need? And then you let them take the reins and run with it. So it's also a learning opportunity for them, and they get the chance to feel like I'm making an impact. I'm helping, you know, helping our school and our students and our faculty feel like they're part of something. And then after that, you know, after you have your teams in place, just pick two or three things that you want to work on. Like I said, we had chosen tardies, kindness, and recognizing students that might not normally get recognized, and coming up with ideas for those. And I will tell you, there are, if you're like, well, where do I find my ideas? There are so many great ideas out there. You know, Jocelyn's Renaissance on their website has a spot. It's called the Idea Exchange. Basically, it's like Pinterest for Renaissance. And just go in there and you type student recognition, and they have a whole list of ideas that come up, and it's complete, like step by step, how to do different ideas. And like what Renaissance looks like at my school is going to be completely different than what it looks like at somebody else's school. Yeah. That's the thing I love about it, is because it's customizable to exactly what your school values and what they need. So that's a really important piece too, is to figure out what is it that your school values, so you can tailor it to exactly what your school needs.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like, it's just kind of reaching out and identifying those areas of need.
Yeah.
Researching and maybe bring in some trainers. Sometimes there's usually somebody that comes in at the beginning to kind of talk about how is it implemented at their school.
You can, like, different schools have done that. I've done that for schools. I actually was in a school in my area in August and did that for their staff. So, you know, Dr. Phil Campbell from Jocelyn's Renaissance team, he's a really great resource, but there is all across North America, there's a wonderful network of educators. We also have, you know, they've just developed in the Jocelyn's Renaissance team, I should say, we have some Renaissance champions that are representing different areas throughout the US and Canada, so that they can be a resource for those people that are looking to get started, or even just to connect if you're already a school that has a program.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely add those resources in the show notes. Talk to me a little bit about your involvement in student leadership, how you became connected to the New Brunswick Student Leadership Association. And you told me in the pre-chat you have been president for that association since 2014. So that's quite a while.
Yeah. So how it actually came about, when I was, and it's kind of funny because when I was a student, I actually attended that conference, New Brunswick Student Leadership Conference. And then I went, see, our student council had not been attending the conference for quite a few years. And one of the executive members, who was also my student council advisor, sent me a message one year and said, listen, your student council isn't coming. When we'd love to have your school back, why don't you bring your Renaissance team, because they're leaders as well. So I said, perfect. So we went. And we've been going ever since. And in that first year of the conference, the position of vice president was available for anybody that was there that wanted to run for the position. So she convinced me to run. So I applied and was selected for that position. And then I was vice president for, 3 years, and then was elected to the president position after that since 2014. But my term is supposed to be up, but we just have to wait till we can have our next in-person conference before they can select the next one. Because in our constitution, you're only allowed to serve 2 terms as president, and a term is 2 years. So the pandemic has just extended that a little bit.
Is there a conference?
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
In the works then, or?
Yes, we've done virtual the last 2 years, but we have in the works and in the plans to have an in-person conference this fall. So it's a wonderful, we do, it's 2.5 days. The kids from all over the province come together and we have a keynote speaker, and just to learn about leadership and how to make their schools better and to be better, you know, better human beings and better, you know, in society. So it's a great time. And we also have a provincial student council. So I'm lucky enough to get to connect with them as well throughout the school year on the initiatives that they're working on, and certainly have got to encounter and work with some amazing, amazing kids, not only in my school, but through the New Brunswick Student Leadership Association over the years.
Yeah, and so you're paying it forward. Like you said, you were involved as a student yourself and having that experience, and now, you know, working with students, it's really come full circle for you. I wanted to talk a little bit about your book. So you're publishing a book pretty soon through Road to Awesome Publishing. I have one in the works as well. So you said the title is The Bond at the End of the Hall. Talk to me a little bit about why that title is such and what the book focuses on.
Well, the book title actually came from an experience that I had with a former colleague. So in our school, like all the math, pretty much all of the math classrooms are in the same hallway. And there was a colleague that I was working with fairly closely throughout the year. However, whenever I would pass this person in the hallway, they would say hello and I would say hello to them, call them by name, but they would never actually call me by name. And one day they were talking to someone else. And my classroom, I should preface this, is at the very end of the hallway. was talking to someone else and referred to me as the blonde at the end of the hall. Yeah. And they're like, "Do you mean Melissa?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, I guess that's the blonde at the end of the hall." Right. So that's where the title of the book came from.
And then it talks a little bit about the positive relationship that leads to improved school culture and climate. So do you talk about your experience with Justin's and kind of working with the kids, and what also are some of the challenges you might have faced in the writing process, and maybe how long you've been having this book in the works?
Right. So the book does talk about a lot of it's my journey through education. So starting with that first year with that difficult class that I had, and trying to find my place as a teacher in the building, right? And how, like, I brought Jocelyn's Renaissance to the school and some of the different ideas that we've worked through, and, you know, the leadership experiences that I've had. But there's also a chapter in there on my mom, because she's been, she was a big inspiration to me throughout my life, of course, and obviously one of my very first earliest teachers. But I don't think I realized how much she was teaching me at the time about school culture and climate, but through our family, you know what I mean? Okay. So, and about how much to value those relationships that you have with people and the experience that you give them when they walk into your house or your classroom, whatever it may be, and how to make them feel welcome. So she was a huge part of my journey. And like I said, there is a chapter in there on her, and the book is going to be dedicated to her and the rest of my family as well. So, but it's been a process. I actually started writing this in March of 2020 when the world shut down, and, you know, submitted it this earlier this year. So just waiting now for the editing process to start, and we're hoping for a summer release for the book.
Okay, exciting. And people can go to the Road to Awesome website. I'll link that to get more information and also to be in touch when that is coming out. And I also talked to you in the pre-chat about something that you teach now that you've helped develop the curriculum for, that's usually in some high schools, but not always offers. So tell me about your journey to teaching dance and creating that curriculum.
Yeah. So I've been dancing since I was three. Something my mom put me in when I was 3 years old, tap dance. And my first recital, me and my cousin actually got into like a fight on the stage. We were shoving each other. It's quite hilarious. But I always loved dance, and I've taught dance in the community since I was a teenager, basically. The only time I kind of really wasn't able to do that was through university, just because I was away. But even when I came back, I was doing that as well. And when I started teaching here in Quispam Sis, I started taking ballet classes because my dance school never offered ballet. Okay. The director knew that I had a strong foundation in tap, and they wanted to add that to their school. So she asked me to start teaching for them, and I've been teaching for them ever since. But then I was at we have what's called council day. So like all the high school teachers in New Brunswick and all the middle school and all the elementary school come together one day a year to take workshops. And there was a lady there that was hosting a workshop about how she had started a course called Dance 11. However, she did not have any dance training.
Okay.
So she was doing it basically from, I think, more of a, from what I understand, a musical theater side of things, because she had a theater background. But I thought, what a great opportunity for myself with so much experience in all these different styles of dance to be able to create a curriculum for our students. So what I did was, because not every province in Canada has a Dance 11 curriculum, but I found that Nova Scotia has a dance curriculum, and so does British Columbia. So I took their curriculums and took different elements of that, as well as just from my own dance experience, and developed curriculum outcomes. And you have to, you know, go through the whole process of developing them, how you're going to assess them, different resources that you're going to need. And then you submit that to the Department of Education here in New Brunswick for approval. And it has been approved. And I've been running the course at KVHS since 2011, since the fall of 2011. So it's a very popular course. The kids absolutely have a ball. Many of them come to me without any dance experience, and that's 100% fine. Like back in the fall of 2018, I had, you know, football players, soccer players, yep, basketball players, even in the class that didn't have any dance experience at all. And they had so much fun. But it's great too, because, you know, there's an opportunity as well for, you know, cause I don't do every single style of dance there is out there. And I'm okay with that, because that's an opportunity for me to be able to bring in other people as guests to help teach. So for example, and I think I had mentioned this in our pre-chat, my vice principal at my school learned how to do the bachata, which is a Latin partner dance, in a previous relationship. So now he taught me, and I mean, we're very basic, but that's okay, because so are the kids. None of them have ever done this before, right? But luckily, like this year, we do have a girl from Mexico, so she's pretty good with it this year. But so he came in and taught me, and now we teach the kids, and it's one of their favorite styles. Like back in 2018, those kids, I had them in the fall, they contacted me in the spring, and they wanted to do it at prom. Now this year's group, because there's not as many grade 12s in the class, they decided to do a flash mob in the cafeteria of their bachata dance the last week of school. So, and that was all them. That's not me. That was their idea. And I said, great, I'll film it, and that'll be a part of your exam. And they're all excited about it. So it's a different, you know, it's a different way for them to showcase their dance, and, you know, and still get credit for it, as well as, you know, it's great for our student body, because they can see it and say, wow, this is a class that we actually have at our school. Cool. I want to take that. Right. Because it means more coming from the other kids than me just talking about it. So when they see other kids doing it and having fun, and, you know, really we all need that movement and exercise in our day. You know, I think, you know, elementary, they do it right with recess and that sort of thing. They get outside and get those kids moving around. And sometimes as high school, you know, it's a lot of sitting, because there is a lot of curriculum that they do need to go on. And that's 100% important. I also teach math, so I get that we have to have curriculum. But I also think too, kids need that break at times in their day. And even if it's just one class a semester, to have something physical activity to do to break up their day, that's great for them. I'm lucky it's period one this semester, so we get to start our day with a little bit of dance every morning. It's really fun.
Yeah, and it definitely sounds like it would be popular, and I can imagine those football players and such, and, you know, and also doing that flash mob, and, you know, get the word out, so maybe recruiting new students for the next year. But yeah, like you said, high schoolers are definitely in need of something. If they're not taking a PE class, you know, this can be used as a PE class, and, you know, get moving, right? And I think those types of classes, you know, really help kids learn a little bit more about different types of dance, like you said, try things out. Maybe when they get married, they'll remember that particular dance, right? So they will have to take lessons.
That's right. My vice principal always tells the boys, they're like, you don't realize how much you're going to value this bachata unit until you get older.
Well, we've talked a lot about your journey in education, work with Johnson's Renaissance, your speaking, and the curriculum development of the dance course. Out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I just want them to remember, like, never underestimate the impact that you're having. Mm-hmm. Because I know sometimes as educators, we never know what that particular moment's going to be that makes all the difference mm-hmm. for a kid, or what the kid remembers that we said. And I know a lot of times you don't hear about that impact that you've had, but, you know, every once in a while, you'll be lucky enough to have a kid come back and, you know, tell you, oh, when you said this, or when you did this for me, it changed my trajectory, or it improved this in my life, or it made me think about something different. So never underestimate that you're making a difference, because you are, each and every single day. Like I said, you may never hear about it, but know that you are, and know that, you know, especially these last 2 years, I know have not been easy. And I know the impact that educators have made has been amazing. The things that they've done for their kids to help them throughout, but that we've always done that. I think it's just been more in the forefront now. And unfortunately, it's a lot on teachers, and some of them have been struggling and not wanting to stay. And I understand, you know, it's stressful, but never forget that. Never forget that impact. It's so, so important. And know that I appreciate everything that educators are doing, always have and always will, because I know that's why I became a teacher, for those educators that made a difference for me and had a positive impact on me. So never underestimate your impact.
Yeah, that's so important, like you said, especially for teachers who feel like they're not being recognized. I think, you know, whether or not somebody at your school is recognizing you, or a parent or a student is, know that, what you're doing day to day is helping in the lives of children. Where can people find you online and connect with you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and my handle is just Wright is with a W, Wright_Melissa on both of those social medias. I'm also on LinkedIn under Melissa Wright, or you can find me on Facebook at Melissa Sue Wright. Also check out my website, melissawright.ca.
Great, great. I'll make sure to link those in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thanks so much, Dana. It was great to be here with you.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.